Well, welcome back to the open line portion of the program. And I got to tell you, this is the first open lines of the new decade, 2020. Isn't that amazing? And I'll tell you what else is amazing. This day, because I started January 3rd, we are going on 18 years doing Coast to Coast now. 18 years. Where did the time go? Just flew by. We are now on 640 terrestrial radio stations in North America. Thank you for everything you've done to support us to get us to that point. And we continue growing and growing and growing. As you know, we're on the internet. We're on Sirius XM. We are streaming, of course, with Coast Insiders. It's a program that just continues to grow, and we have you to thank for it. So let's take a quick moment and come right back and begin the new decade of Open Lines. And welcome back to Open Lines, and welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm looking forward to tonight as we begin a brand new decade with Open Lines. Richard Serrett, by the way, will be in on Saturday's program, and I'll be on Sunday. Of course, we do the first Sunday of every month, emerging artists, and of course, some great guests for you. And then we'll get the week rolling. And then this is my final week coming up in St. Louis before I head back to Los Angeles with a stopover in Denver for the Beyond Belief television tapings, which we're starting another year there. And let this go right to the phones now. Let's go to Jersey Doug in New Jersey. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jersey. Welcome.
Thank you very much. How are you tonight, George?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it, and I'm glad to get a chance to wish you a good and happy new year.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. About a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks ago, you had a gentleman on. He was promoting one of his new books. I believe it was his 20th issue out about different facts and strange little anecdotes. I was trying to get on that night to mention a few of them to see if he was familiar with, but I never got through.
Well, throw them my way. See if I know them.
Okay. Did you know that Hitler was a vegetarian?
I did not know that Hitler was a vegetarian.
And here's one that I find even more amazing. It was Hitler who came up with the idea for the Olympic torch to be lit and passed.
I had heard that, and they did that in Munich, didn't they?
Correct. Yeah, he was responsible for that as well.
And what great American drove Hitler crazy in the Olympics?
Oh, and I was Jesse Owens.
You got it. You got it.
Right. Let me see here. To prove a point to being one of the greatest catchers of all time, and it doesn't have his name here, but apparently he caught a ball that was dropped 800 feet from a hot air balloon, and it rattled his body so hard that his jaw actually broke.
Jeez.
But he never dropped the ball.
Did it say what year that happened?
I believe it was 1938.
Would that have been Roy Campanella, maybe?
No, I think Roy might have been a little bit younger then.
Okay.
That.
All right. I don't know that. But they dropped it from 800 feet. He caught it?
800 feet measured from a hot air balloon. He caught it successfully without dropping it, but it rattled his body so much that he had a broken jaw. They think that he was clenching his teeth in anticipation of the impact.
Oh, my God. So the ball never hit him in the face or anything?
No. He caught it fair and square right in his glove.
You like these little tidbits, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big Jeopardy fan, and any kind of strange and off-the-wall fact that most people wouldn't remember, for whatever reason, I would.
I love it. Thanks, Jersey. Jersey Doug checking in with us. Hey, here's who's checking in. The Bible Bullets and Beans guy, Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there. You must be jumping for joy with your LSU team coming up.
Yes, sir, there, Mr. George Norway. And my big friend, Tommy Danheiser, I'm telling you, just like I predicted, LSU will win the college championship
in
New Orleans against Clemson. So it's Tigers versus Tigers. So, I'm supporting the LSU Tigers. But what I was telling Tommy, hopefully tomorrow night I'll be able to get in. It'll be my birthday. I'll be 59 years old.
Well, happy birthday.
But that's tomorrow now. When you and Tommy are on Sunday, so I'm going to try to get...
So you are about 41 years old when I started doing Coast to Coast.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Can you believe how much time has gone by?
Yeah, I tell you. It really has. You know, George, what I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad you had Jonathan on, and he seems like he's senses something getting ready to happen. I want the coast-to-coast listeners and callers and stuff like this to get prepared, just like y'all talk about the Patriot Supply and getting the Sea Crane radio. I'm going to get some stuff, fill your vehicles up, because I believe that these sleeper cells are here, and they're going to try to do some damage. They're talking on the news. I don't know if you heard the news feed between y'all's commercials and stuff, that they think they're going to attack aviation. So be careful flying. If you send something, George, say something, and we don't want nothing to happen to you.
Oh, don't worry about that. But let me tell you something. If some idiot got jumped up and made his way for the cockpit, and if I were if I was there, because I normally get aisle seats, I'm going to take a dive for him.
There you go, George. Do like those did in 93. Say, let's roll, and roll over them.
You got that right. Corny, thanks. Keep in touch with us. All right. Texts and tweets we take. Tom, what do you have for us?
You know, it's funny that you just said that, because I don't think you ever noticed, but when we get on a plane, I look around me and I always think, if something happens, who are the people that will follow me? Just like what you just said.
Well, I'd be one of them.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Who are the big guys next to me? This one from Samantha in North Carolina. Do you think people can manifest health? And if so, why is there death? I don't get it.
Well, what do you mean by manifest health?
I only assume she means...
You mean like take care of yourself?
Yeah, if you're not feeling good, can you make yourself feel good?
Well, yeah, with the right medical... Look, I am a staunch believer in modern medicine. I know some of the guests we've had on the program, you know, don't like doctors or anything like that. I think doctors are great people, hardworking, dedicating, saved your life for sure. But I think we need to do personally everything we can to help ourselves, and that's supplementation, vitamins, watch what you eat, exercise, and do all that as preventative. And God forbid, if something happens to you, then you go to the doctor to try to take care of it or fix it. I think prevention, like a car, and you know the way I am with automobiles, take care of them so they don't break down. You don't want it to break down on the freeway at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
I guess preventative would be manifesting then in this case. Yeah.
Yep, you got that right. All right, thanks, Tom. Tom will give us another text or tweet in the next half hour. Let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Michael. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you, George, and thank you so much for last night's show with Stephen Cohen.
Thank you.
Yeah, very important. He sounds like the Lone Ranger trying to prevent World War III. And when I say Lone Ranger, I mean he's not on the side of the Democrats or the Republicans.
Nope, he just calls it the way he sees it.
Right. He doesn't think that Trump should have sent $390 million worth of javelins to the Ukrainians. He believes that Ukraine has far too many weapons already. And we've got to get some weapons experts, both Republican and Democrats, to go up against the one man who sounds like he may have a plan for actually heading off World War III. We didn't get a chance to get into it last night with him, but here's the problem. The reason that so many former satellite countries in the USSR want to be in NATO and want to be armed by us is for exactly the reason that Stephen Cohen explained. He said he doesn't trust anybody but Putin. Now, what if Putin has a heart attack? What if Putin has a brain aneurysm or something?
Or is ousted, or they get rid of him.
Exactly. So he's going to have to defend his position. He's going to have to tell us how we encourage more trustworthy people to come to the forefront in Russia. He didn't do that. And so I think, George, you have, just with that last night's show, created a unique platform. You have started a whole new discussion. Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans can fault you for this position, because you have brought for something that no other network has done. Here is a man, a Russian expert, telling us that we are putting too many arms into NATO, and even Trump doesn't recognize it. So I don't know who we asked for. I think we just have to start calling everybody and telling them, look, coast to coast is the place. It's the only place in America that's building a platform for world peace. And we've got to get some of these people that feel they can't come on a show like this to come on a show like this, because this is the only platform that's going to allow them to give us some creative solutions to the problem.
Eloquently said, Michael. And, of course, we bring you cutting-edge guests that a lot of stations and networks just don't deal with. We do. And Stephen Cohen, I think, is probably the foremost expert on Russia than anybody I've ever talked to in my life. Truly remarkable individual. And people need to listen to him. They need to listen to him. Let's go to Clearwater, Florida. Chris is with us on Coast to Coast. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George.
Hi there.
Well, Jonathan Zapp, I was calling for, and just to mention the experience that I've had and my family has had, among many, there's just one that I'd like to mention that
sure.
That includes a whole lot of different incidents, but involved just seeing astral lights. These are little flickers of light sometimes after my brother was deceased over 25 years ago. And little flickers of light, usually sometimes larger, sometimes even up to the size of a basketball or beach ball. And they were different colors, but they would stay a certain color, then transition to another color, then after a while go into another color. And this is something that my family and I could validate among ourselves, especially my mom and I would see these. And my mom later discovered the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and it describes what these Tibetan lamas claim to have experienced, and a roadmap of what the deceased can experience and how to avoid the cycle of reincarnation, and how the deceased can reunite with Creator and avoid the cycle of reincarnation by avoiding emotional attachment. Well, it turns out that these order of lights in the Tibetan Book of the Dead correspond exactly to the same order that my family and I had seen. So that lent a lot of credibility to it. And so, you know, I wanted to emphasize that, yeah, I like being able to communicate. It's very reassuring to communicate with your loved ones, certainly. Though the Tibetan Book of the Dead says that it's not to really be encouraged, because, you know, then you're trying to get them emotionally attached to their past life, and the idea is to encourage them to reunite with God, to feel like you're loving and deserving, you're worthy of all that God has to offer, not just your past life or lives. So, you know, I think that past life communication is reassuring at times, but, you know, in this obstructed universe, as Jonathan Zapp last, your guest was mentioning, the more obstructed the universe, I think that the more effort it takes for the deceased to communicate. You know, if you're talking to them telepathically, I don't think it takes as much effort, or as, say, when they're energizing a light or moving an object or some other, you know, manifesting in full body form, if they're fully realized master, maybe that's easy for them to do. You know, maybe they're comfortable manifesting on all dimensions comfortably, but not everybody is that advanced. So, you know, maybe a little bit of telepathic communication or a little bit of astral chatting, you know, when you're in your astral form, probably doesn't take as much energy, I don't think, for the deceased to communicate. But, you know, I think they should be encouraged to.
When I was 20 years old, I read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and it was just compelling as all get up about being prepared when you die. And it's remarkable that a book in something that was deciphered as a book so many years ago continues to stay as strong as it is. Let's go to Diane in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Diane.
Hi, George. Hi. How you doing?
Great. Hope you are, too. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I just wanted to tell you this quick little story about from the last guest host you just had. But it kind of on those lines. But it was one night I was in my mom's room. She's been passed away for 5 years. And I was laying in her bed. And my mom always used to do these little jumbled crossword puzzles in the paper every day. And they're those things where the crosswords, and then they have a circle, and then there's letters that go inside the circles that you solve at the end, and it has a bonus word.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, is I just looked at my mom's picture, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm doing your puzzles from the paper." And I said, "I hope you don't mind me doing your puzzles. Can you see me doing them?" And I, you know, George, when I started to solve that puzzle, I started to notice in these circles it was spelling my name. D-I-A-N-E. And then the last two letters in the circles on the puzzle were C-U, Diane C-U. And it just freaked me out. I thought, what are the odds that that would say that when I just said to my mom's picture, "Can you see me doing your puzzles?"
It's synchronicity at its best.
I know.
How do these things happen?
Google three-quarters moon, I saw this and everybody thinks I'm nuts. But if you look at a three-quarters moon, and you can kind of see it on the full moon, if you look at the top left part of the moon, it looks like a profile of Jesus.
Really?
Yes, check it out.
I've never noticed that.
And I just started seeing all these weird, and then across from there looks like this, the bigger image looks like a poodle-faced woman with a Betty Rubble hairdo, kind of a thick neck, and if you look right by where her chin is, you see an image that is kind of a bad, really bad version. It looks like the face of Donald Trump.
Have you ever looked at? When you were a kid, Diane, did you look at clouds and see faces and things like that with them?
Once in a while, I do still.
Yeah, I think everybody does that.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but I mean, I just can't believe that some of the NASA people that you see. That's how I always know when the moon's real in movies, because I see those images on it.
Well,
I'm surprised nobody else noticed it. Everybody thinks I'm nuts, but check it out.
All right, I'll check it out. This horrible fire that's going on in Australia, affecting three of their states already. We've got the story at coasttocoastam.com, where you can see in the fire what looks like the face of a demon. I mean, it's bizarre how that happens. But go take a look at it at coasttocoastam.com. That's a horrible fire. 19 people have died, 28 people missing, and over, I think they said 500 million animals have already been cooked and have died in that tragic fire. Anyways, we're going to continue with open lines, text and tweets as well. When we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast, those of you on hold, I'll get to you. Those of you calling, keep trying until you get in. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM for you. Don't touch your dial. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you and our special open lines tonight. Let's go to first-time caller Marion in Richmond Hill, New York. That's part of Queens, isn't it, Marion?
Yes, it is, George. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your remarkable program.
Thank you.
I listen to you every night. The reason I'd like to tell you about an experience I thought I had with my mother reaching out from the other side.
Ah.
She passed away, and I dreamed of her one night, and she looked younger, number one, and number two, she looked very angry. And my mother and I were very close, and I was very upset to see that. I mean, if it's true that the deceased can come back in a dream. And this bothered me for about a week when one night I was in the kitchen. I had the television on in the next room. And then all of a sudden, the TV went silent. So I came in to find out what happened. And sure enough, the TV was silent. But all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, "I love you."
Oh.
As if my mother would tell me that she's not angry with me and that she loves me. And I felt much better after I heard that. And I was hoping that she was reaching out to me from the other side.
Sounds like she was. Sounds like she was. And, you know, they generally have this appearance of looking younger at a certain age. They get to pick younger ages that when they were there and alive, and they look that way again. It's remarkable, but it sounds like she reached out.
It was true then, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was a real story. It happened to you.
Oh, that would, I can almost cry now. Thank you so much.
Okay, Marian.
And, I'm just glad there is an afterlife. Thank you, George, and a very happy new year.
You too, and thanks for listening. Next up, let's go to Fred. He's truck driving in California. Whereabouts are you, Freddie?
I just drove through Tulare, California.
Well, you keep driving and keep us safe, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're on cruise control and hands-free.
Excellent. Well, that's almost like a driverless truck, so be careful.
No, we ain't going there.
No.
Okay, first off, happy 18th anniversary.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I have three stories, but we're going to start with the most important.
Okay.
Would be my mom came to me. I was having a dream, and then I ended up through the part I came across where she was sitting on a porch. And I was flabbergasted. And then when I looked at her, she had blue-green eyes, right? So when I looked at her in the street, she had the most gorgeous kind of turquoise eyes.
Wow.
And then I was talking to her. I was like, how are you here? I just had you cremated. And she's like, no, I'm all right, you know. Everything's all good. I'm still alive. And then I was, you know, wanting to connect. And then right after that, a bunch of little kids came up from behind. And, you know, they were basically calling for her. And she said, well, I just wanted to let you know that I got to go help the kids right now.
Wow.
And then, you know, that's basically.
What a great story.
I snapped out of that dream. So part two. This is like 2 days after she passed. My stepdad was laying on his bed, and he was kind of under the weather from it. And then they have a stereo, and the stereo came on all by itself. And
probably with one of her favorite songs, too.
Well, it was on talk radio.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then as far as that goes, let's close this next thing out with earlier we were talking about how somebody can have an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my son, when he was about five, he had an imaginary friend. And, you know, it was interesting. We never tried to stop him or anything, just let him have his imaginary friend. And then we had to move out of there. And then we found out after that some crazy guy he was on bad drugs. He ended up shooting up his whole family and the baby and the baby's mama in that house.
In that place. That was happening. We had a call years ago of a person who was telling us about their little girl, their daughter, who kept telling them about their imaginary friend. And finally, you know, they tried to kind of scoff it and talk the kid out of it. And the kid finally said, no. And she says she's buried right here. And they went, what? And she said, yeah, she was killed and she's buried right here. And this is a little girl talking. So the parents were really concerned. So they called a repairman and they lifted up the floor. And sure enough, they found the bones of a little girl buried underneath the floorboard. So that was weird, too. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for us?
How about from Janelle in Idaho? It simply says, talk about your favorite movie character. That's all it says.
Favorite movie character?
Yep.
You know what? I like a lot of them. I like Clint Eastwood. I think he's great.
Character, though. It's only one line, but she's talking about a character.
You like the movie. Like the actor or the character in the movie?
Who they play. Like, you like Rambo or you like...
Rambo's good.
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry because of Clint Eastwood. Rambo because of Stallone.
When I saw this, I knew you wouldn't pick one.
No, I can't. I don't pick, you know, my favorite. Jimmy Stewart, great, and playing the part of George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. You ever hear my Jimmy Stewart impression?
I have a feeling I'm going to right now.
You want me to do it on stage at a live show?
No.
You don't? Why?
Go ahead. Let's hear.
Well, do you know Jimmy Stewart? Have you heard his voice?
I have.
So if I say it, would you think you know if it's him or not?
I'd know if it's a good impression or not.
Tom, I think you're one heck of a producer, Tom.
I like the verbiage, but I don't think it's a great impression.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thanks a lot.
I've actually heard you do a better one, I will say.
All right. Well, it takes time. You got to get into that mode.
Guess so.
All right. One more text and tweet the next half hour. Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello there, sir.
I hear you and that Tommy getting on there, buddy.
He's my producer.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine, what in the world are you doing having Cornelius on there before me? And he didn't even let me talk to him.
It's the luck of the draw there, Barry.
Hey, George, I'm just telling Tommy a funny story. I got to fill you in. I guess you know our all-time most famous Tar Heel. I'm from North Carolina, of course.
Yes, you are.
And guess who is the most world-known North Carolinian?
The world's most well-known North Carolinian. I don't know. Who?
Andy Griffith.
Really?
Yeah. And I was telling Tommy I'm in two episodes of him in Matlock. I used to live in Wilmington. I went to school at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Matlock was filmed there in Wilmington at the Dino De Laurentiis Studios, and I used to be an extra. I was on there one time and didn't get to meet him, and the next time, about a month later, I was an extra on there, and I was eating lunch, and he was hanging out with the rest of the guys, you know, and I got to get introduced to him and all. I said, well, I tell you what, Andy, I said, there's one thing about it. He said, what? I said, you sure do make the North Carolinians look like a bunch of hicks. And he said, what? I said, nobody's as big a redneck as you are on that Andy Griffith show.
That's funny. Yeah, he was a great actor on that show. And I loved Ron Howard, the little kid, Opie. Remember that?
And not only was he a great child actor, but he's turned out to be an incredible adult, too, George.
And a good director. I'd love to get him on Coast to Coast. I think I'll have Tom work on that.
I would. No kidding. He is a truly inspirational character. But let me tell you about guess who if you had to put me on the Andy Griffith show as one of the characters.
Don Knotts.
Well, that's what everybody says when I ask them that question. But, George, I would absolutely have made a perfect Otis Campbell the drunk.
Interesting. I thought you would have wanted to date Ann Beatrice. Aunt Beatrice.
Oh, you mean
Aunt B.
Oh, God. Thanks a lot, buddy.
We'll set you up with Aunt B.
Yeah, no kidding. But let me ask you real quick. Do you know how the Tar Heels got their nickname?
Well, it has to do with tar, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Of course, North Carolina was the pine tree capital of the East Coast. And they used to make pine tar out of it. And during the Revolutionary War, George, they came over here from England trying to bully their way around, and they said when they got to North Carolina, those guys fought like they had tar on their heels.
Ah, I love it. A great story. And are you rooting for Cornelius's LSU team?
Yeah, listen, I'm pulling for the Tigers, but it's darn sure not the LSU Tigers.
It's going to be an interesting series. Thanks, Barry. Keep in touch. Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Good.
I had a quick comment, if that's all right, and then I had a question for you.
Sure.
I just want to say to any of the millennials out there listening to don't let fear hold you back, you know, because for a long time I let fear stop me from calling into this show. I listened to the show for such a long time, and I was like, well, what if I mess up? What if I, you know, do this or that? And it it was one of the best decisions I ever made, getting involved with Coast to Coast AM. And I'm glad I picked up the phone that night and made the call and got involved. So,
Mike, really, you're a great caller, and you're eloquent, and you know what you're talking about. You're to the point. You do a great job.
Thank you so much, George. I mean, really, it means the world whenever you put me on the air, and when Tommy puts me on the air, it means more than I can put into words. So I did have a quick question for you.
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, what was college in high school like for you, and how did you do in college? Did you enjoy it? Did you what did you learn from it that you could pass on to myself and other younger listeners?
Sure. Well, let me tell you the great story. First of all, when I was younger, I always wanted to be in broadcasting. I had a out-of-body experience when I was 11 years old, and I was obsessed with UFOs, out-of-body experiences, Edgar Cayce. And I decided at a young age I wanted to get into broadcasting because people in those fields that I enjoyed would talk to a broadcaster rather than just me picking up the phone and calling them. They'd be more apt to talk to somebody in the business. And boy, I sure was right about that. But as I grew up into high school, I got involved in a lot of shows and plays and musicals. I loved that. It was a passion of mine. And then decided to go into broadcasting at the University of Detroit when I graduated from high school, except my father had other plans for me. He wanted me to become a dentist. And, you know, he was paying my way through college, and my relatives were dentists and, you know, endodontists and, you know, dentists like that. And so for the first 2 years, I did what my dad wanted me to do, and I went into broadcast. I went into a dentistry school, and I just didn't want to do it. It was a great profession, but that wasn't me. And so a friend of mine was in the broadcast curriculum at the University of Detroit, which is now called University of Detroit Mercy, and I switched my major from pre-dent into broadcasting. And one day my dad, and I've told this story before, Michael, got the report card and called me into the living room and says, George, you know, we got a little problem here. And I said, what, Dad? He said, well, who's ever getting this broadcasting courses, he's doing great. He's getting all A's, but I got the wrong report card. There's no biology. There's no chemistry. There's none of your dental school courses. And I said, Dad, I switched my major into broadcasting. Mikey wouldn't talk to me for 2 months. For 2 months. I was 19 years old. And at that age, I got a job as a part-time copy boy at WXYZ Television, Channel 7 in Detroit. And I was a copy boy production assistant. I did everything. And one day, my father was watching the news. And in those days, they rolled credits at the end of the newscast for everybody who was participating in the newscast, and he saw my name pop up. And when I came home, he was waiting for me, and he said, did I just see your name on that newscast? And I went, yeah, Dad, that's where I'm working, doing this and that. Then he opened up. Then he loved it. And so I got my degree in broadcasting, graduated in 1972, and I was already working full-time at a radio station, WCAR, when I was 21 years old. And after that, I went to a NBC television station in Detroit as a producer, went to a CBS station as a producer, became executive news producer, went to Minneapolis as a news director, youngest news director in the country at the time. I was 28 years old. Then I went to St. Louis as a news director. And after a few years doing that, I went into corporate public relations and then started buying some of my own businesses. Some did very well. Some fell on their face and failed miserably. And then back in 1996, I needed to resurrect my career again. And I went into a radio. I had heard Coast to Coast on a station and called up the station owner. And he said, we're going to hire you and come aboard. And my career in radio started back in 1996 after doing it in 1971, after all these many years. Anyways, that's a little nutshell, Mike, about me. We'll talk more about you with Open Lines when we come back on Coast to Coast AM.